课堂听 class.com。
全国翻译专业资格水平考试指定教材，英语口译综合能力二级，第二盒。
Unit 5 Putting the horse before the cart. Section 1 Listening comprehension. Exercise 1 Listen to the following passages.And then decide whether the following statements are true or false.
1. The British government and the universities say they have no choice but to raise tuition fees in the years to come. The universities, which are receiving $14.6 billion this year from the government, need $14 billion more over the next 3 years to maintain standards.
2.Belfast, a city of 277,000, best known for bombings and other acts of terror in the 1970s and 80s, now has a thriving nightlife. During the day, the city resounds with work on new buildings and renovations of derelict warehouses. This activity is the result of the 1998 Good Friday Peace Agreement, which restored confidence in the future of the city.
3. The Paris Opera was confused by the complexity of the orchestration and frightened by the scale of Berlioz's music. French audiences were largely indifferent or contemptuous. He died a prophet without honor in 1869, a lonely, near-tragic figure, embittered at the rejection by his countrymen.
4.Because many computer-based technologies are relatively new to classrooms, basic premises about learning with these tools need to be examined with respect to the principles of learning.
5. As the Swedish population becomes more heterogeneous, it may demand more choices within the welfare state and become more reluctant to pay exorbitant taxes.
6. Mr. Mubarak...Egypt's president has never named a vice president, nor even hinted at the possible identity of one. Coyly and repeatedly, he has said that it was hard to find anyone suitable.
7. Few real estate speculators have overborrowed from local banks. The government granted most of the land free. Many firms are already cash rich. Dubai's building costs are low.Thanks to those amenable Asians, and Standard Chartered thinks the Emirates' GDP will grow by 8% this year, as long as oil output grows and its price stays high.
8. Localizing software is a tedious job, but some people are passionate enough about it to resort to unusual measure. The Hungarian translation of Open Office was going too slowly for János Noll,founder of the Hungarian Foundation for Free Software. So he built some web-based tools to distribute the workload and threw a pizza party in the computer room at the Technical University of Budapest.
9. A useful BCI device, however, must be able to determine the subject's intention from a single brainwave reading. For real-time applications,Averaging hundreds of readings simply won't work. But the problem with such single trial readings is that they are very difficult to interpret because of the background noise produced both by the brain and by the EEG equipment.
10. Worldwide changes are transforming American agriculture into an endeavor focused not only on efficient food and fiber production,but also on delivering improved public health, social well-being, and a sound environment. Recent scientific breakthroughs will make it easier for agriculture to achieve its potential for delivering a wide array of benefits to society. Exercise 2. Choose the one answer that best fits the meaning of the statement you have heard.
1. The changes now underway in agriculture's social and scientific context require a new vision of agricultural research, one that is grounded in lessons from the past, in changing American values, in a globalizing economy, and in scientific advances that have fundamentally altered the life, environmental, and social sciences.
2. In engineering and in technology-based industry, creativity yields technological inventions. Such inventions can result in commercially successful products, in improvements to the quality of life, and in the generation of income streams through intellectual property licensing arrangements. Thus, the social and economic benefits are often clearly identifiable and measurable.
3. Few technologies are currently as controversial as genetically modified GM crops. Critics, particularly in Europe, object to them on many grounds. A common objection is that they are unnatural because they often involve the transplantation of genes from entirely different species.
4. Normally, maize, which is an important crop for livestock feed, has low levels of methionine. Farmers typically have to add chemically synthesized methionine to their animal feed in order to keep their herds healthy.
5. Sony, the market leader, is changing the technological and business rules that have defined this cutthroat industry for 2 decades. By doing so, it hopes both to improve its fortunes. Earlier this year, the company admitted that its revenues and profits had unexpectedly plunged, and to fend off a challenge from Microsoft, which launched its first games console, the Xbox, in 2001.
6. What leads surprisingly large numbers of young people to follow the desperate course set for them by fanatics? A sense of oppression, of humiliation, of marginalization, can give rise to extremism. In 1962, the UN Secretary General warned of an explosion of violence felt by those living in poverty and despair in a world of plenty.
7. We must press governments to ensure that in attacking terror, the cure does not become worse than the disease. The worry is that in many countries, human rights have become the collateral damage of the war on terrorism, in particular, the presumption of innocence, freedom from arbitrary detention, due process.
8. In far-sighted decision, Microsoft says it will combat software piracy by allowing users to decide what price to pay for its new Microsoft Office suite. A spokesman says, "We recognize that some folk in some less advantaged countries can't afford the $3 million per box price tag, so we'll let them pay what they think is right."
9. Apple released its first mobile phone in August. It's plain white, has no buttons, and looks like an egg. All units of the first batch had to be recalled due to design flaw. The surface cracks easily, and white and yellow goo leaks out. Long-term users complained of hearing clucking noises from inside.
10. Concerned about maintaining friendly ties with future growth markets on its eastern frontier, Germany realizes that its strategic and economic interests are best served by cooperative relations with Poland and other new members, who were outraged when Chirac bluntly told them they should have kept quiet rather than voicing their support for the United States during the war.
Section 2. Reading. The End of the Oil Age. Prompt. The dependence on oil has not only dramatically changed the economic and political scenes of the world, Thanks to the oil embargo by the OPEC countries over the past three decades, but also produced devastating impact on the natural environment. The cost is huge in both these aspects. With the advance of new technology today, there is hope that new sources of energy, such as hydrogen fuel cells and bioethanol, can offer alternative ways of energy supply. The author discusses such possibilities and their consequences. In making his argument, the author expounds on the cause and effect relations between oil embargo and the political and economic changes, between the concentration of oil supply and the likelihood of its disruption, and between the use of renewable energy and the freedom from air pollution and from war over energy.
The Stone Age did not end for lack of stone, and the Oil Age will end long before the world runs out of oil. This intriguing prediction is often heard in energy circles these days. If Greens were the only people to be expressing such thoughts, the notion might be dismissed as utopian. However, the quotation is from Sheikh Zaki Yamani, a Saudi Arabian who served as his country's oil minister three decades ago. His words are rich in irony. Sheikh Yamani first came to the world's attention during the Arab oil embargo of the United States, which began three decades ago, and whose effects altered the course of modern economic and political history. Coming from such a source, the prediction, one assumes, can hardly be a case of wishful thinking. Yet a generation after the embargo began, the facts seem plain. The world remains addicted to Middle Eastern oil. So why is Sheikh Yamani predicting the end of the oil age? Because he believes that something fundamental has shifted since the first oil shock. And, sadly, for countries like Saudi Arabia, he is quite right. Finally, advances in technology are beginning to offer a way for economies, especially those of the developed world, to diversify their supplies of energy and reduce their demand for petroleum, thus loosening the grip of oil and the countries that produce it. Hydrogen fuel cells and other ways of storing and distributing energy are no longer a distant dream, but a foreseeable reality. Switching to these new methods will not be easy or all that cheap, especially in transport. But with the right policies, it can be made both possible and economically advantageous. Unfortunately, many of the rich world's biggest oil consumers are reluctant to adopt the measures that would speed the day when the Saudis' worst fears come true. If treating the West's addiction to oil will be costly, is it worth doing? To be sure, petro-addiction imposes mighty costs of its own. First, there's the political risk of relying on the Organization of Petroleum Countries, OPEC. Oil still has a near monopoly hold on transport. If the supply is cut off even for a few days, modern economies come to a halt, as Britain discovered when tax protesters blockaded some domestic oil depots 2 years ago. And despite what sound like large investments in new oil fields in Russia and elsewhere, Saudi Arabia's share of the world oil market will actually grow over the next two decades, simply because it has such huge reserves of cheap oil. Geology has granted two-thirds of the world's proven oil reserves to Saudi Arabia and four of its neighbors. Because of this continuing concentration of supply, the risk of a disruption to oil flows will continue to be a threat, and may even rise. That points to a second sort of cost. According to one American government estimate, OPEC has managed to transfer a staggering $7 trillion in wealth from American consumers to producers over the past 3 decades by keeping the oil price above its true market clearing level. That estimate does not include all manner of subsidies doled out to the fossil fuel industry, ranging from cheap access to oil on government land to the ongoing American military presence in the Middle East. The disguised cost of oil is the damage it does to the environment and human health. Unlike power plants, which are few in number and so easier to regulate, cars are ubiquitous and much more difficult to control. The transport sector is a principal source of global emissions of greenhouse gases. The only long-term solution to this connected set of problems is to reduce the world's reliance on oil. Achieving this once seemed pie in the sky. No longer. Hydrogen fuel cells are at last becoming a viable alternative. These are big batteries that run cleanly for as long as hydrogen is supplied, and which might power anything in or around your home, notably your car. Hydrogen is a fuel that, like electricity, can be made from a variety of sources. Fossil fuels, such as coal and natural gas, renewables, even nuclear power. Every big car maker now has a fuel cell program, and every big oil firm is busy investigating how best to feed these new cars their hydrogen. Another alternative likely to become available in a few years is bioethanol. Many cars already run on a mixture of petrol and ethanol. The problem is cost. At the moment, the ethanol has to be heavily subsidized. But that might alter when biotechnology delivers new enzymes that can make ethanol efficiently from just about any sort of plant material. Then, the only limit will be how much plant material is available. Such changes will not occur overnight. It will take a decade or two before either fuel cells or bioethanol make a significant dent in the oil economy. Still, they represent the first serious challenges to petrol in a century. If hydrogen were made from renewable energy, then the cars and power plants of the future would release no local pollution or greenhouse gases. Because bioethanol is made from plants, it merely borrows its carbon from the atmosphere, so cannot add to global warming. What is more, because hydrogen can be made in a geographically distributed fashion by any producer, anywhere, no OPEC cartel or would-be successor to it could ever manipulate the supplies or the price. There need never be another war over energy.
Section 3, Speaking Up. Answer the following questions based on your understanding of the passage.
1. Did the oil embargo 3 decades ago produce any impact on the world economy?
2. Why are the words from Sheikh Yamani ironic?
3. What are some of the political risks of the world's dependence on oil-rich Saudi Arabia?
4. Does the author of this article think that the price for oil has been fair over the last 3 decades?
5. What are the best solutions to these oil-related problems?
6. What is the current problem with bioethanol?
7. What are some of the advantages of bioethanol over oil as a new form of energy?
8. OPEC has managed to transfer a staggering $7 trillion in wealth from... Section 4, Writing. Write a short summary of the passage you have heard.
Unit 6. The Other Side of the Coin. Section 1. Listening Comprehension. Exercise 1. Listen to the following passages and then decide whether the following statements are true or false.
1. Nigerians suspect the government's motives for taking away cheap petrol and doubt that the money saved will be put to good use.
2. The war on terror should provide an impetus to work towards a global security culture that will serve the interests of all countries equally and will make reliance on nuclear weapons obsolete.
3. 2 years after the fall of the Taliban, one can hardly look at Afghanistan and not reflect on things to come in Iraq. At least Saddam Hussein has been dragged out of his hole. Osama bin Laden is still at large.
4. Still, during a visit in November by Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, the two nations did not decide on a timetable and failed to agree on plans to relocate the Yongsan military garrison in Seoul. What is more, the important subject of reducing the force size was not raised, nor was the topic of what this all meant for the U.S.-South Korea Security Alliance.
5. In the aftermath of the success of Shenzhou 5, the question is, can the Chinese run a successful manned space program at less than exorbitant cost when Russia and America failed?
6. Japan tobacco's domestic market is now shrinking, not least thanks to successive tax hikes on cigarettes. In 1996 to 2001, the number of smokers in Japan, as a share of people aged 20 or over, fell from 27.1% to 24.4%. Japan tobacco's domestic tobacco sales fell by 2.4% by volume in fiscal 2001 and by 3.5% last year. They will fall by a hefty 5.5% this year.
7. With the need to devise production methods, rewrite design and safety codes, encourage multiple sources of supply, and develop repair and maintenance procedures, it is no surprise that new material such as engineering plastics, super-strength ceramics, or carbon fiber generally take 30 years to go from invention to commercial use.
8. Memory has come to be understood as more than simple associations. Evidence describes the structures that represent knowledge and meaning. Knowing how learners develop coherent structures of information has been particularly useful in understanding the nature of organized knowledge that underlies effective comprehension and thinking.
9. Key scientific findings have come from studies of people who have developed expertise in areas such as chess, physics, mathematics, electronics, and history. The examples are important, not because all school children are expected to become experts in these or in any other areas, but because the study of expertise shows what the results of successful learning look like.
10. Leaders of most of the Commonwealth's 54 countries gathered in Nigeria's capital, Abuja, minus the uninvited Robert Mugabe, Zimbabwe's president. In his own annual State of the Nation speech, Mr. Mugabe vowed to crack down on corruption and to curb inflation, currently officially 526%, but estimated to be much higher through price controls.
Exercise 2. Choose the one answer that best fits the meaning of the statement you have heard.
1. European foreign ministers, meeting in Naples to thrash out the draft European Union Constitution, settled few of the outstanding disputes. Joschka Fischer, Germany's foreign minister, declared that he was leaving Naples gloomier than he arrived.
2. China plans to more than double gas use by 2010 to cut pollution and the nation's $20 billion oil import bill. As world gasoline prices rise to records, suppliers are building CNG stations to bolster sales.
3. China, where respiratory disease is the number one killer, is turning to natural gas because it produces fewer harmful emissions. Chinese oil companies are spending more than $7 billion to tap the nation's gas fields and pipe the fuel to cities such as Beijing and Shanghai.
4. China's biggest oil field, such as Daqing, have been in production for half a century or more, and their output is falling. By contrast, the country is just beginning to tap some of its largest gas reserves in Xinjiang in the far west and off the eastern and southern coasts.
5. Afghanistan has yet to resolve its power struggles, and the resulting insecurity means that large portions of the country are off limits to aid workers. The country exports little but opiates, and a reconstructed Afghanistan, let alone a prosperous one, still seems a very long way off.
6. Japan has the highest life expectancy in the world, one of the lowest birth rates, and accepts few immigrants, leaving a diminishing workforce paying for a rising number of pensioners.
7. According to the Ministry of Health, Labor, and Welfare in Japan, in 2000, the present value of the public pension system's liabilities exceeded its assets by 450 trillion yen, almost a year's GDP. The gap has since grown.
8. Poor investments have hobbled Japan's public pension funds, which may invest in shares and have often done so simply to prop up the stock market. The biggest state-run fund had a shortfall of 6 trillion yen at the end of March. The welfare ministry, disastrously, built holiday resorts with pension premiums. Now these must be sold. So far one has been, for 4% of what it cost to build.
9. Not surprisingly, public mistrust is growing, which makes the sums worse. In the national pension scheme covering the self-employed, farmers, fishermen, and students, 37% of those supposed to contribute do not bother. Many fear the scheme will collapse before they retire.
10. A new generation of South Korean leaders, backed by young voters, is more independent-minded and less beholden to the United States. They regard the United States less as the country that fought in the Korean War than as the country that backed past military dictators.
Section 2. Reading. Car makers see the future in China. Prompt. 10 years ago, stories about China would rarely appear in major Western newspapers, but now you scarcely find them without reporting on China, especially on the business pages. The above text is such a news report on the burgeoning Chinese car market. It is based on interviews with top executives of the major car makers in the global market, and that is why you find many big names here like Daimler Chrysler, General Motors, and Bayerische Motorenwerke, better known by its shorthand name BMW. Amid much of the euphoria, the writer also sounded a cautious note, which makes his story more balanced.
Canvas the top executives at the Frankfurt International Motor Show about what gives them hope for their industry's future, and the answer is the same: China. With their home countries currently in the doldrums, and the outlook for 2004 scarcely better, the eyes of the world's automakers are fixed firmly on the Chinese market, where sales on cars and trucks are rocketing. Growth in China is absolutely amazing, G. Richard Wagner, the chairman of General Motors, said here Wednesday. The Volkswagen brand sold more vehicles during the first quarter of 2003 in China than they did in Germany. Last month, GM sold more vehicles in China than we did in Germany. To understand what that means, consider that GM owns one of Germany's major car companies, Adam Opel. Wagner's theme was echoed by Daimler Chrysler's chief executive, Jürgen Schremp, who increasingly regards China as the cure to what ails his transatlantic colossus. China is also on the mind of BMW's chairman, Helmut Panke, who likened his company's foray there to its landmark decision to open an assembly plant in Spartanburg, South Carolina, in 1994. Automobile sales in China are growing at an annual rate of more than 50%, compared with about 3% in the United States and Europe. By 2013, Schremp predicted, China will be the world's second largest car market, after the United States, with 8% of global sales. In trucks, where it already accounts for a quarter of worldwide demand, China will be the world's largest market within a decade. The auto industry certainly hopes that China will be the cavalry pouring over the hilltop with bugle blaring, said Garrel Rees, the director of the Automotive Industry Research Institute at Cardiff University in Wales. But he added, the industry would be very foolish if they thought China was the answer to all their problems. Rees said the euphoria masked a range of potential threats, a glut of foreign car makers entering China, the lack of a genuine used car market, the development of consumer credit in a country with debt-laden banks, and the simple question of whether torrid growth in China is inevitable. In 1976, it was confidently predicted that Brazil would be an 8 million car a year market by 1996, he said. It didn't happen. Car manufacturers look at China and see a burgeoning middle class of perhaps 400 million people, with rising incomes and a taste for consumer goods. BMW's new assembly plant in Shenyang, in northeastern China, will be equipped to turn out 30,000 5-series sedans per year. Chinese drivers, Panke noted, tend to favor cars with the most powerful engines. He expects China to become BMW's best market for 12-cylinder engines. Daimler Chrysler signed an agreement Monday to produce its Mercedes-Benz C-Class and E-Class cars with a Chinese partner, Beijing Automotive Industry Holding. Mercedes also has a thriving business in China, importing its top-of-the-line S-Class sedans. Daimler Chrysler's investment in trucks in China may prove as important as its venture in cars. It agreed to buy a stake in Beiqi Futian, a truck maker controlled by Beijing Automotive. The venture, Cord said, will allow Daimler Chrysler to produce a full range of commercial vehicles. To some extent, Daimler Chrysler is playing catch-up in China, where most global car makers already have joint ventures. Volkswagen, an early entrant, controls nearly half the Chinese passenger car market. GM has a factory near Shanghai. Even Rolls-Royce has set up dealerships. Section 3. Speaking up. Try to answer the following questions after you have heard the above passage. 1. Why do car makers all look to China for their business growth? 2. How did the Chinese market perform during the first quarter of 2003, according to Richard Wagner? 3. What is the current rate of growth for car sales in China? 4. Can you name some of the problems faced by China's automobile industry mentioned in this report? 5. What is Daimler Chrysler's next move in China in order to produce more commercial vehicles? Section 4. Writing. Write a short summary of the passage you have heard.